Yes, we see.
Hey there, folks. Welcome to Leader of the Pack on the All Paws Pet Radio Network. I am your host from Fort Worth, Texas. I'm Susan Herbert, the Lone Star Dog Whisperer. And my co-host is America's canine expert, Mark German.
Well, thank you, Susan. I appreciate you bringing me back every week. Maybe that's why they call me a co-host. I don't know. But I just love that Cuban accent of yours. Now, listeners think that I have a Jamaican accent. And that's just from my hair, but I want to give a quick shout out to my therapist, Tom, in Arizona. Can't do this without him. And hello, everyone. Thanks for listening. Welcome to the show. You can find out more about Susan and Mark at americascanineacademy.net. We welcome your questions and comments. You can email us at pettalk@live.com. Susan.
Well, you know, we've had a couple of guests on recently, three now, I think, that have been part of a fantastic charity book project in which 100% of the proceeds are going to benefit veteran organizations, service dog organizations, PTSD and trauma suicide prevention, war dog and rescue dog charities. And the book is titled In Dogs We Trust. It's a collection of short stories written by some of America's best writers, including Patricia McClellan, Paul Owens, Kevin Hanrahan, the veteran traveler, our friend Lonnie Hodge, and several others. I think there's 40 stories total. And right now available is a limited autographed edition. It's available for purchase, so don't forget to order several copies for all of your friends for Christmas gifts. And if you mention that Susan and Mark sent you, you will receive $5 off the book price. If you want to know the link to order that from, you can email us. Again, the email address is pettalk@live.com. And a few weeks ago,
So they can email us at pettalk@live.com. They can also go to our website, americascanineacademy.net, and they can click on that link and order their book from there. Now, you missed an important part here. We have a chapter in that book, by the way.
We certainly do have a chapter in that book.
So along with Patricia McConnell, Paula Owens, and all the rest of them, we're in there. So
yay.
You guys are listening to us, so support us by purchasing one of these books. It helps a lot of different organizations. And you can read about our chapter, which is called Cowboy Up. What do we have, Susan?
Okay, so a few weeks back, we had Dr. Kathy Alanovi on, our discussion, she said, "You do know that dogs aren't supposed to shed, don't you?" And of course, we sat there in complete silence because with 10 dogs here, we're always sweeping up dog hair.
Oh, my gosh.
So apparently, we're doing something wrong, and I'm going to venture to guess that many others are also. So coming up later in the show, we've got Dr. Kathy Alanovi she's going to tell us how to stop all the shedding. But first up, we have one of yours, as in Mark's, longtime friends with us on the show.
He's not a friend of mine.
Well,
okay. I'll call him a friend today.
Okay. Well, with spring and fall being the time of year for lawn care, we all have to be concerned about what chemicals we're putting down in the yard because we don't want them to harm the dogs and whatever other pet. We don't care if you harm the cats, but we don't want you to harm the dogs. So we have Tropical John here to tell us how to do that. Welcome to the show, John.
Good morning or good afternoon, wherever we're at. I appreciate you having me on. And
we're in Canada.
We're not
in Canada. Oh. It must be cold up there.
Yeah.
I'm sitting on my back porch in the nice warm weather before it before the cold front comes from Canada.
Well, howdy, John. Thanks for joining us. Several years ago, you and I, were on WBAP in Dallas, right?
That is correct. That was on Living Natural First Radio that has since gone off the air. I still work with Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. You know, my passion in all this is natural and organic gardening and techniques for your yard. And it's all about keeping your pets safe, your kids safe, and yourself safe. And it's
funny
go ahead.
Tell, tell us about your background, and then we'll get into this good
right.
stuff.
Well, I've actually been had my hands in the dirt pretty much all my life. My parents drug me to a nursery every Sunday afternoon in the spring, and I ended up going to work for them. And landscape design and installation. And in 1988, when I moved to Rockwall, I opened up a nursery in Rockwall, Texas, and started with all what I knew. All the nasty chemical stuff was in there. And that was about the same time Howard Garrett, the dirt doctor, came around. He was actually on WVAP. And I liked what he was talking about, using safe and natural techniques to make your gardens grow. And by 1990, I made the change and went 100% organic. Got rid of all the toxic chemicals that were in my nursery, and it was a great move. It took a little bit of talking back then, but you know, it's just common sense gardening. What we're doing is we don't want to poison our dogs. And you know, you talk about the dogs that were shedding and allergies and things like that. These guys, the people that just have the chemical companies come out and spray all that nasty stuff, they put a little 4-inch sign that says, keep off the grass for 24 to 48 hours. Well, you know that never happens. It absolutely never happens. The dogs run across it. It's soaked up into their pads. Then they drag it inside. The kids are in it. You know, we've got to do some things to create a lot safer environment. That's me on the in my rant here this morning.
Oh, okay. So now, today, let's just say today, what are you doing?
So today, I'm still in Rockwall. We closed the nursery in 2007. I still have a landscape company, and I have an organic vegetable garden that we sell produce at the Rockwall market. And I do an organic version of Chemlawn. Basically, I do a fertilization program where we come out and apply things like dry molasses. And yes, we put out sugar on the yard to increase the life of the soil. And then I spray a lot of compost tea, and my tea mixtures have compost tea and liquid fish and seaweed and all that good stuff to help the grass grow. But you know what? The thing that got me started, and it's ironic that we're talking about dogs and cats and what happens out in the yard, because what got me going in organics in 1989 was I had a bad flea problem in my dog run. And I had tried all the chemicals that we used at the time, diazinon, Durzban, liquids, you know, all of it. And it would work for a little while, but they always seemed to come back, and they'd come back a little stronger as they began to increase their immunity against the poison. Well, Howard Garrett was talking about a product called diatomaceous earth, and this is not the same. It is kind of the same stuff you put in your swimming pool, but not the same. It is swimming pool stuff has been heated and cannot be used on the yard. But natural diatomaceous earth, I put that out, and what it does is the little fleas and ticks and chiggers and all that stuff crawl through it. It clings to their body, and it sucks all the moisture out, and they die. And I had immediate control within 7 days, total control over the flea infestation in the dog run. I started using it all around my house and on the property. And that's what got me started in the organic, kind of going in with my passion with organics. I figured if that works so well, there's got to be other things that work equally as well. So the natural diatomaceous earth can be found at almost any feed store. Most independent nurseries carry it. And after being a dog food salesman for 4 years, a lot of pet stores are carrying natural DE too. So
yep,
it's something that you want to watch for.
You can powder your own dog with it to get fleas off of them. I love it.
Yes, you can comb it into. Now, the one thing you want to watch, if your dog has any kind of tendency for dry skin, because it does dry out, you know, if you get it on your hands, it'll dry your hands out. So you always be careful and what you're applying on the pet. If they're
hey,
just
John,
a normal pet.
Let's,
yeah.
Hey, John, let's bring this diatomaceous earth up, because it's used for a lot of things, but we have to take a break, so we'll be right back.
Attention all pet lovers! Do you love your furry pet? Well, I want to introduce to you Paws and Silk, the first all-natural silk-filled pet bedding and apparel line that helps improve your pet's overall health and wellness. Paws and Silk is made using luxurious long-stranded silk and all-natural breathable cotton. Each product will help keep your pet cool and comfortable all year long. Posen Silk pet beds and coats will also work as a barrier against dust, mites, and other allergens. Not only are they fashionable, but they also don't take on your pet's odor. Better yet, they're even machine washable. So, folks, here's what I want you to do. Visit Posen Silk website at posensilk.com to learn more about Posen Silk and their incredible products. That's PAWSNSILK.com. You can buy directly from the site, and they even ship all over North America. How easy is that? For more information, go to posensilk.com or call their toll-free number, 877-678-7455. What you mean when you say they came from the wrong side of town?
And we're back. You're listening to Leader of the Pack with Susan and Mark.
I'm Mark.
We're talking to professional landscaper and organic lawn care expert, Tropical John. Now, we were just talking before the break about diatomaceous earth for fleas, ticks, ants, any of those nasty bugs. Is there anything else that we can be using for insect control?
Yeah, there actually is quite a few things. One of our main tools, a natural contact killer, is orange oil. And orange oil is a solvent that can be sprayed over your yard if you have a really bad infestation, and you'll mix it out. Most of the concentrations will mix out about 2 ounces per gallon. So you spray the entire area, and it will kill anything that's on the ground. It dissipates very quickly, so as it goes, it will not damage the soil after you spray it. It dilutes down really quick, so is what it hits, it kind of melts their exoskeleton and kills them. So that works really well. There are some other things like spinosad. There's some natural, what we're seeing now too is the trend going to natural herbs and essential oils, clove oils and rosemary and thyme and things like that, that work as a contact killer and a repellent. So those work very well also. The DE I do at my yard probably 3 times a year. Spring, obviously, is the most important. And then again in the fall, I'll go all around the perimeters of my property and the house, because you get a lot of creepy crawlies that want to come in and stay warm. So if you put it around the perimeters of your house, it'll create a barrier and stop those guys from coming in as well.
Hey, John.
Yeah.
I have a serious question.
Yes, sir.
Do you still wear those Hawaiian shirts?
Always.
Okay, just checking.
Always. Always.
And you know, your name, Tropical John, where did that come from? From those ugly shirts you wear?
Well, more or less. Back in the 80s, I actually did interior maintenance. That's where you go around to offices and water the little house plants that they have, and it was really great. So a company was called Tropical Design, started wearing the tropical shirts, and then they guys started calling me Tropical John, and, you know, hey, the rest is just history.
And you're going to be coming out to our new ranch where we house the dogs that we train for service dogs for veterans. And we have 2 horses, a lot of dogs, and you're going to come out and show us what we need to do and get rid of some things, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We'll be glad to do that. And one little thing on the natural DE, that can be used as a food supplement for, yep. It helps with internal parasites and coats. And the natural silica in there, I actually take natural diatomaceous earth about once a week, and the silica helps, it works like glucosamines, it helps lubricate your joints, so it's a good additive to your pet's food at 2%. You don't need much. 2% of what you're feeding them is what you'll put in their pet food.
So if
I
you're
wish
feeding
more pet
a cup,
foods actually kept it in there.
If you're feeding a cup of food, how much diatomaceous earth?
Oh, on a cup, you're probably talking a quarter teaspoon.
Okay.
Ooh, that's
yeah.
Not
you
much.
Don't need much. You don't
and
need
all the
much.
Time,
I'll actually mix a teaspoon in a little glass of orange juice once a week, and down that myself.
Oh, you're kind of freaky anyway.
Well, John is free from parasites.
Yeah, that's right. He got rid of his worms.
I try to keep my gut clean.
So, John, what about weed control and fertilizers? What are some recommendations on that?
The natural weed controls, believe it or not, is pickling vinegar, 10 and 20% vinegar. Pickling vinegar is a 10% acidity. What you buy in the grocery store is 5% and generally is not strong enough. So the 10% vinegar is non-selective, which means it's going to kill the grass and the weeds. So you do that on a nice sunny afternoon. There are some plant products called herbicidal soap that also burn off the weeds as well. Your organic fertilizers, again, compost teas, the liquids that work very well. Garrett Juice is one of them. John Dromgold Ladybug has one. Soil Mender has one called Foliar Plus. And then the fertilizers, the dry fertilizers, are usually alfalfa-based, chicken manure, turkey manure. You know, we use all sorts of different kind of poop on the yard. And,
I hear you talking.
That's it, yeah. So
we use dog poop
those things, when you see a fertilizer, that is, the numbers on those are always going to be very, very low. So like a 6-2-3 or a 4-2-3. You still with me?
Mm-hmm. I hear you.
Hello?
Yeah, we're here.
Okay, I to make sure I didn't get disconnected.
Maybe,
you know, I just love
maybe you've been taking too much diatomaceous earth.
I get a little sidetracked here and there.
I hear you talking.
Products,
I do the same.
Those natural fertilizers, they will not burn your yard. And the cool thing is they actually build up in the soil, where your chemical fertilizers are all water soluble. So they dissipate, they gas out, and they run into our lakes and streams, which is high nitrogen in our streams is what kills fish. So that's a very bad thing to happen, where your organic fertilizers, they will build up. You can feed your yard any time of the year because it doesn't, it's not water soluble. So it's available to the plant when the plant needs it.
How can people contact you or learn more about this, John?
Go to my website is being built, but tropicaljohnsgardens.com is my website. And my phone number is, actually my email address is tropjohn@sbcglobal.net. But tropicaljohnsgardens.com will get you to my website, and you can email me from there.
And I know people are going to want to know more about this, and because it's, we all think about it. We all try to do something about it. We just don't know. We don't have the expertise to do this. I think if you came out with some kind of sheet or a book or something, I'd buy it.
I've got lots of information on my website, but my buddy Howard Garrett, that's the Dirt Doctor. He's the guy. That's my mentor. You'll go to dirtdoctor.com. Howard has got 20 years of experience. He's written probably 10 books now. I've done the forward in one of his books for him. And Howard is a great guy. He's got a little radio show in the Dallas. Well, he's nationwide. He's syndicated nationwide. But go to dirtdoctor.com and check all that stuff out. He's really got the best information. He's accumulated lots and lots of good stuff.
And real quick, what plants are harmful to dogs?
Oleanders are, and generally speaking, your animals are pretty smart. By the time they eat enough of it, they figure it's bitter and they'll quit. But, plants like oleanders, yellow blooming Carolina jessamine, you can, again, off the top of my head, I don't know the entire list, but,
what about them poinsettias?
You know, that's a euphorbia. So they have a very milky, substance. It's kind of an old wives' tale. They're really nasty, but generally, once they get a little of that, there's a lot of people are very allergic to the milky stuff inside there, so it'll make them sick. But generally, it's kind of an old myth that it'll actually kill them. So
now, on the Carolina jasmine, is it the actual bloom or the plant?
You know, I think it's more of the sap inside, because the poinsettia has, if you've ever broken one off, you'll see that real milky sap that comes out, and that will come out of the leaf or out of the stems, either one, so.
Okay. And the jasmine, is it the plant or just the bloom?
It's not the true jasmine, it's actually Carolina jessamine, J-E-S-S, and it's a yellow blooming plant that a lot of people mistake for the true jasmine, that's, you know, like the perfume, and that is a white flowering plant that generally isn't the problem. But Carolina jessamine is a little bit of an issue, as well as our oleanders, and the folks from Dallas-Fort Worth south, there you'll see those plants north of Dallas-Fort Worth, they're not hardy, so it's not a big issue.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, John, for being on today. We love the information you provided, and we hope to have you back on soon in the future. And we are going to head to break. We'll be right back.
What you mean when you say they came from the wrong side of town?
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial, no sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat treated to help retain all the natural, rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time at 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044 and tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com, order code 3395. Put your pet on the path to good health.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike toe leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
And we're back. You're listening to Leader of the Pack with Susan and Mark. And we're going to go ahead and bring in our next guest, Dr. Kathy Alanovi. She graduated from Purdue University with a doctorate in veterinary medicine and a master of science in epidemiology. She's certified in veterinary food therapy, veterinary acupuncture, Chinese herbal therapy, and aromatherapy. And welcome back, Dr. Kathy. And have you gotten certified in anything else since we last talked?
No, I'm simply certifiable. That's all.
Well, and they say that about me too. But remember, we can certify you as a dog whisperer, and then you'll really be the boss.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah,
well,
there you go.
We'll have to get to work.
Well, welcome back, Kathy. We appreciate you being on. Tell us real quick. The last show you was on, you mentioned something about dogs shedding and they shouldn't be. So I want you to tell our listeners how they can get their vacuum cleaners a break.
So, yeah, you remember I said that, and you guys both went, what? You know, seriously. So, you know how if you know you want a new dog, and you look up online, look up for breeds that don't shed, and online they say they all shed. But why do they shed? They shed because they have inflammation, which is a big fancy word for saying that things aren't right on the inside. So have you guys ever been stressed out and you know, because when you take a shower and you wash your hair, there's a whole lot more hair in the drain?
Yes.
Oh, I don't have that problem. I have no hair.
Oh, well, okay. Once. So, yeah.
No, actually, my hair looks like I'm Jamaican, man. No, I'm serious.
Well, see, you're still not helping.
I know.
I know what you mean, Dr. Kathy.
Okay, well, good. I'm not out here alone. When I was a kid, I didn't know anything about it because I didn't have any problems with these things. But so it's stress. And what do we do to our bodies to make them stressed? So what's the biggest thing we do to our dogs? My favorite topic. You guys know it.
Food.
We feed them. Food. You got it. So what do we feed them? Let's imagine for a moment that you and I are eating Pop-Tarts every single day, and they taste good. They have, and they're fortified, right? Vitamins and minerals, and they say they're good and healthy breakfast. And we ate that every meal, every day. Would our bodies be stressed?
Absolutely. Probably.
Right. And so if we're feeding that to our dogs, it's going to make their bodies stressed, so they shed. So you go on the internet, and it tells you a Labrador sheds. Labradors don't have to. It's what we feed them. If we feed them real food of some sort, and we can, another segment, we can talk about raw or cooked or whatever again. Mm-hmm. But if we're feeding them real food, we take away that stress on the body, the stress and the inflammation, and the shedding goes way down.
Well, what about these females that blow their coat twice a year, and the males usually blow their coats once a year? How?
So that's normal, right? Dogs shed in the spring and the fall for the season changes, and then also there will also be a hormonal component for the ones who are breeders. But they shouldn't shed all year long. And so, yeah, we want our winter coat, we want our summer coat, and we have to blow everything out. But it shouldn't be the same every day.
Right.
And you shouldn't have to wear your dog's clothes or wear your dog's fur on your clothes.
Right.
You should be able to pet your dog and not have all that. And so food,
or in your food.
80%. Yep, 80%. That's most of it.
I used to have a salt and pepper shaker with salt and pepper, and then I had a third one with Bernese Mountain Dog hair in it.
And you just decided which one you were going to wear that day?
You know, we want extra hair here to pass this around.
Yeah, so, and they didn't have to.
So if we fed our dogs real food, they would stop shedding?
Most of the shedding would stop. Some dogs, that's all it takes. Some dogs, that's plenty. I had a client came in a couple weeks ago. My office cat is this gorgeous thing who doesn't shed a bit, and it's because all he eats is meat. And she asked. So she switched her 15-year-old cat to meat, and a month later, her cat quit shedding. So obviously my times aren't right. So that's an extraordinary case. You wouldn't expect a dog or a cat that's been around that long to stop shedding, but some of them it's that easy. It could be that simple. What if you get them as a puppy, and you put them on the best food since the very beginning, and in some of them, that's all it takes. Some it's more. There's some, the genetics isn't simply that a Labrador or a Weimaraner are shed. It's that this genetic line has been bred to have that stress and inflammation, so you can breed that shedding out.
Okay. Now, when you talk about real food, does that mean food that we have in our refrigerators? Are you talking about a raw diet like that, for instance, Stella and Chewy's brand of the raw food? What specifically do you mean
either.
By real food?
It could be either. I've seen animals do great on what's in our refrigerator, and I've seen animals do great on the Stella and Chewy's and the Barf World and the Steve's Real Food. It's, you know, going to be individual things. If I'm allergic to gluten, or if my dog's allergic to gluten, then my dog shouldn't be eating whole wheat pasta, right? But if my dog's not allergic, then shoot, why not? Throw it in there.
Okay. So we have to point out, though, that if people are just going to start feeding, doing the grocery shopping for their dog at the human grocery store and feeding them a regular, hamburger meat and vegetables, then they really need to consult with a vet to make sure it's a balanced diet.
Let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have two-legged puppies? The naked hairless ones that talk like humans.
Mm-hmm.
His name is Mark.
Hey.
There you go. When you brought your baby home, did they tell you that you had to consult your doctor before you fed your child? Did we need to have a license in order to feed our kid a balanced diet? No. Why do we have to do that for our dogs? Isn't that a crazy thing that we've been brainwashed for? As a regular veterinarian, I am no better at balancing your dog's diet than, you know, my daughter sitting here right next to me. Now, we do a whole bunch of research into food. I'm not a veterinary nutritionist, and the veterinary nutritionist would tell you that you have to be a veterinary nutritionist in order to pick balanced ingredients for a recipe. I think that's really silly. Common sense would tell you what good food is, and it takes a little bit of research, but I had to do a little research to feed my daughter. Why do I have to have a nutrition degree and a veterinary license to feed my dog healthy food? We've been brainwashed.
Yes.
I hear you.
I hear you. Well, this has been very mind-blowing, so I can't wait to give this a try. And thank you so much for coming back on and talking about this with us. And we obviously will have you back on soon. And we're going to head to break, and we will be back after these messages. What you mean when you say they came from the wrong?
As a dog owner, you know that dogs can eat just about anything. But when food becomes a health troublemaker, or your animal has been on antibiotics or heavy meds, or GI issues set in, your animal's gut may be out of balance and needs Goo Gut Rescue. Goo Gut Rescue is 100% natural and veterinarian prebiotic and probiotic formulated to rescue your animal's gut from bad bug dominance. Remember, your dog's total health begins with gut health. Don't delay. Visit GooGutRescue.com.
You're listening to Leader of the Pack with Susan and Mark.
I'm Mark.
Yes, he's Mark. And now we have Dogs in the News.
When news breaks, we fix it. Susan, what do you got?
There was an extra little.
I love doing that.
Fix it on that. It. Okay, so my first story, wow, this one kind of made me mad when I heard about it. It happened last week, actually.
It really made me mad.
Yeah. But passengers aboard a U.S. Airways flight became outraged Wednesday night when the crew removed a blind man and a service dog. The flight eventually had to be canceled because of it. So Albert Rizzi is legally blind, and he was flying from Philly to Long Island with his service dog, Doxy. Mr. Rizzi and Doxy have flown many times before and have never had any issues. But on this flight, things were a little different. A flight attendant told Rizzi that Doxy would have to be kept under the seat in front of him or the plane would have to turn around. And the seat Mr. Rizzi was in didn't allow for that. So Rizzi told the flight attendant that he really didn't understand what the issue was and that he couldn't really do anything because of the seat situation. And he thought it was really odd that the flight attendant was expecting him to put his dog in other people's space when they were paying good money for their seats. So two other passengers offered to let the dog Doxy stay under the seats in front of them. But the plane ended up being delayed. The flight ended up being delayed and the plane sat on the tarmac for close to 2 hours. And during that time, Doxy had gotten up, moved into the aisle and gotten repositioned. And the flight attendant once again confronted Mr. Rizzi. And according to US Airways, Mr. Rizzi became verbally abusive. So the crew made the decision to remove Mr. Rizzi and Doxy and had him escorted off the plane. And as other passengers aboard the plane realized what was happening, they became outraged. They rallied behind Mr. Rizzi. When some of the other passengers realized what was going on, they began questioning why it was happening and stating that Doxy was not a problem. And they started raising their voices in protest, which then prompted the captain to come out of the cockpit and the captain basically asked all of the passengers to leave the aircraft. So it was a nice rally behind this blind man. It's good for you guys. Yeah. I would have helped him too. Anyway, once the flight was canceled, U.S. Airways offered to transport the passengers by bus. Mr. Rizzi, along with many other passengers, accepted the offer, and Mr. Rizzi was moved by the support he received from his fellow passengers. He stated, "When I heard those people coming off the plane saying what they said, I felt like $1 million and more humble than I have ever felt in my entire life." Now, U.S. Airways is continuing to investigate the incident and reviewing how the situation was handled, but it was obvious if several people spoke up to help, it was obvious they were in the wrong.
Right. And it happened to us. It happens to us, but
it happened to us
on the plane. Maverick's foot was out in the aisle, and she came over and... But anyway, I'm not going to get into that.
Yeah, and let's not point out it wasn't U.S. Airways with us. Right. It was a different airline.
Well, here's a shaggy dog story for you. You know, America's cross country is struggling to sign up for this Obamacare thing. But a man in Colorado received a letter after he signed up because his insurance was canceled. And it was a letter informing him that his dog, Baxter, a Yorkie, 14-year-old Yorkie, Baxter... All the paperwork came in Baxter's name, the Yorkies. And so he went to sign up for coverage to the state exchange, and somehow Baxter wound up getting enrolled instead. And he said he did give Baxter's name to, but it was for a security question. You know how they do that. What was your first dog's name? I don't know. And then, but he says when he called Connect for Health Colorado, they fixed the problem. But he's still wary of the Obamacare due to all the issues. We're not going to get into that. What do you have, Susan?
Really? That might be a really good topic to get into. I mean,
not on this show. We'll wait till we do that live show where we can talk.
I've had to go on, and actually my husband was quite surprised because when I went on to sign up for Obamacare, I actually got through the system. So, now – I didn't like what I got on the other end. I'm going to have to pay a whole lot more. But, you know, I was able to get through the system when millions haven't. So me and Baxter are going to get coverage, and y'all can just...
Baxter. All right. Well, what do you have?
All right. Okay, so a dog owner has been cited, and a mother is under investigation after a 2-year-old was bitten by a lab mix Tuesday night. Just before 10 p.m., officers were called out to a Knoxville apartment community, and they said the 31-year-old dog owner was babysitting the toddler. Knoxville Police Department said the toddler's 32-year-old mother was picking up her daughter and insisted the dog owner let the lab mix out of a locked bedroom to play with her child. Now, the dog owner had advised the mother that the dog was not friendly with kids, but the mother insisted and let the dog out, and when they were sitting on the floor, the dog bit the child. The dog actually bit off a large portion of her cheek, and so the 2-year-old was transported to a nearby hospital and is expected to be okay. Stupid mom. I don't know if you're listening, mother, but why would you do that? Yeah. Anyway, according to a report from the Knox County Sheriff's Office, this was the second time the dog had bit a 2-year-old in the past 2 months. The report showed that on October 3rd, deputies were called out to the same owner's previous residence after the dog bit her 2-year-old cousin while they were playing Frisbee. Now, the report lists the dog as a female named Lily, which the report from October 3rd, but the owner admitted that the dog was the same male lab mix that bit the 2-year-old on Tuesday. So the police told... The owner told the police that since her other dog had died, Simba, this male dog, had become more aggressive. Surratt was not cited in October. The Surratt is the owner, but officials cited her Wednesday for her dog not being up to date on its rabies vaccinations. And the misdemeanor comes with a $50 fine. And the Family Crime Unit and the Department of Children's Services is investigating the mother, who could face charges.
Right, and she should.
And, you know, I hope the dog doesn't end up in trouble for this. Right, you know, the owner did the right thing by putting the dog away and warned the mother, and she just didn't miss it. Listen, so it's too bad for her. Her child got bit. But I hope nothing happens to the dog, because that's not the dog's fault.
Right. And we're going to talk about something similar to that in our What Were You Thinking segment. And this stuff just aggravates me.
Yeah, it's, you know, what was the mom thinking? No, I just don't get it.
Or anybody in this same situation. What in the world were you thinking? So so it's going to be, you know, our next segment's going to be good when we get back from break. So be prepared for us on the rampage.
Yeah, we're going to rant a little bit about an article that I had read. We are fixing, though, to go to break, and we will be right back after these messages. What you mean when you say they came from the wrong side of town?
Does your dog have muddy, dirty paws? Well, here's your answer. The Paw Wash cleans dog's paws fast and easy. Just insert your dog's paw and leg into the device and pump up and down. The Paw Wash's unique hourglass design creates a suction of power that pulls that dirt, mud, sand, or salt off the paw and leg, and it stays in the device. You can clean all four paws in a little over a minute with just one fill. For retail or online sales, go to www.thepawwash.com. That's www.thepawwash.com.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo healthy.
You're listening to Leader of the Pack with Susan and Mark.
You're Susan.
And he's Mark.
Oh, there you go.
And now it's time for What Were You Thinking? And the What Were You Thinking segment was originally designed for Mark to go on his little rampage about whatever's bothering him.
But you took over the show.
I know. I can't help it, because so many things just bother me.
Well, now you know what I put up with for 20 years.
Well, you know what? What really bothers me is that I put up with you every day.
Oh,
so,
see, ooh. There you go.
Okay, so anyway, we're going to rant this week, because I read an article this morning, and it's just, there's, you know, overall, the I agree with most of what's in the article, so I'm not going to, you know, just say this woman's off her rocker. A lot of what the article says, we completely agree with, but there's a few things in the article specifically that just once again point out
it's
to
wrong.
Me that people just don't get it.
They don't know, and it's wrong. They just don't know that it's wrong.
Yeah. So anyway, this article is written by Dr. Karen Becker, and she presents an alternative look at the notion of alpha dogs and being the leader in your pack. And
what's
of course,
the name of our radio show?
Our radio show is Leader of the Pack. And so, you know, whenever I see people arguing the whole alpha dog pack leader theory, it just sparks my fire.
See?
So,
what were you thinking?
Yeah. So anyway, again, I want to point out there's many things in here we agree with, but we'll point out what we argue anyway. Most behavior problems in dogs involve either normal canine behaviors owners don't like or understand, or undesirable behaviors rooted in anxiety. That's the first part of this article. So she goes on to say, in order to improve any type of dog behavior issue, the steps must always include, one, learning what normal in quotation marks means in the canine world. Two, identifying and minimizing risks associated with the behavior. Three, effectively communicating with the dog. Four, learning to read the dog's signals. And five, meeting the dog's needs. Well, we agree with all of that. Absolutely.
Especially the last one, meeting the dog's needs. If you treat your dog like a dog, meet his needs, he'll be the best dog in the world.
And effectively communicating with the dog is another big one. That was number three, because most people don't – we're humans. We talk English. Yeah. We speak English. We expect our dog
to talk English.
We talk English. We sure okay. do. And we expect our dogs to understand that. And
they don't.
They're just – their instinct, their psychology is different from ours. So here's where we get into a little – issue here. She goes on to say in the article, unfortunately, dog trainers, veterinarians, and other canine experts have been...
How many other canine experts are there? I'm the only one.
Well, there's several that claim to be.
Okay.
Okay. So anyway, they have been conditioned over the years to believe bad behavior is driven by a dog's desire to be dominant over his humans. So owners receive the message that exerting control over their dog or showing him who's boss is the key to improving behavior. So we're going to stop right there before we go on any further, and we're going to talk about that. Because what she says is that people have been conditioned over the years to believe, and here's where it starts, bad behavior is driven by a dog's desire to be dominant over his humans. So we get all these dominant, you know, the pack theory, the pack leader, the alpha dog. You shouldn't have to be dominant over your dog. There's so many controversial conversations about all of this. But what she's saying right here, bad behavior is driven by a dog's desire to be dominant over his humans. Well, let me tell you something. I don't know any dog that has the desire to be dominant over as humans. And that is where in my opinion, she is wrong in this statement.
He's just doing what he has to do because the human is not in charge. The human is not doing the things that a canine, Canis lupus familiaris, Canis lupus would be doing. If the humans do what the Canis lupus does and quit trying to change the species, they'll find that that's exactly what's happening. The dog jumps on you, not because he likes you. He jumps on you. That's dominance.
Right. So people just don't understand when we talk about dominant behaviors and bad behaviors being dominant behaviors. They think, oh, well, gosh, you have to be dominant over your dog. You have to force your dog and you have to show him who's boss. No, that is completely incorrect. They're not paying attention and they're not understanding the theory and what it means to lead your pack. Leading your pack means that you have their respect. Mm-hmm. As pack members, they will follow you.
Not fear. It's not
they
fear.
Will not fear. We do not force our dogs or make them submit to us. They submit to us because we are strong enough to lead them, and we lead them in a way they understand and want to be leaded. No dog has the desire to be dominant over his humans. The humans do not know what to do to lead their dog, show the dog that they are leading them, that they are providing, that they are protecting in a way the dog understands. And so the dog must then step up, because dogs live in packs. And every pack has to have a leader. If you're not going to be it, the dog will be. There's no desire involved. It's not a desire to be dominant. It is, well, if you aren't, I have to be. It's somebody has to lead. It's instinct. They have.
And it's not. And it's about being calm to correct your dog in a moment he needs corrected, not making him do 50 other things. Mm-hmm. I just don't want Johnny throwing rocks. He can play on the playground.
Right.
So we just correct the behaviors we don't want him to do, and the rest of the time he can just be a dog, if you understand dogs, but most people don't.
Right. Well, I'm going to skip down real quick to another part that I really, really disagreed with. It's further down in the article, but what she says here is normal dog behavior doesn't include a drive for dominance. That's correct. There is no drive for dominance. But she says dominance is often expressed as aggression, and we agree with that somewhat. The way we say it is dominant behavior leads to aggression. Mm-hmm. But then she also says aggressive dogs are anxious dogs. Dogs with behavior problems involving aggression have an anxiety disorder. She says dogs with anxiety disorders have trouble processing information and making accurate risk assessments. So we disagree with that.
I would love for her to go into a shelter with me.
There are a lot of aggressive dogs that probably do have some type of anxiety or fear, but typically, you know, we can't say all in all that all aggressive dogs are anxious dogs. There are several different types of aggression, and it doesn't, they don't have to have an anxiety disorder to be aggressive. I would not consider them, if you have aggression, you have anxiety. They're two separate issues, in my opinion. So, you know, Dr. Becker is, she's a very proactive and integrative wellness veterinarian. Does great stuff. And like we said, for the most part, we agree with what she says, but there's two particular things. And it may just be that her understanding of the pack leader theory, her understanding of it and what people teach, she's mistaken on that. And it may be that the people out there that she's learning these things from are not us.
She's not doing it herself. She's just writing articles about other, you know.
And the other people, you know, they may be doing it wrong. We don't know, but.
Right. They're following an unstable leader. They're listening to somebody who, it's not right. I mean, I can't help it.
Yeah. Well,
I know we can fix any dog by doing what we do, four things.
We sure can, but we'll have to do that next week.
All right.
We are.
I
want to
get
time.
Her on the show.
We are out. I'll see what I can do. Right. We are out of time. That's all for this week, folks. You can email us at pettalk@live.com. Be sure and email us if you want the link to the book. Everybody should order one. Thanks for joining us, and everybody have a great week.